everybody. This is episode 18 of the Google News Update. This is your host, Mike Baker, and with me is my co-host, Mike Bennett. What's going on, bro?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Just enjoying this good old Sunday. Spending some good family time. It's not raining crazy like it's been for the past 2 days, so
right. We're
hanging in there, man. I'm actually ready to jump into it. I think we got some really good topics to talk about today, man. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a good 90 degrees out here. It feels real good out here. I want to get out a little bit more. I'm going to try to get out a little bit after these shows. But yeah, if this is the Google News Update, and as usual, we bring you the pros and cons of the companies that we talk about, and in this case in particular, Google. And today we have a couple of topics that are more business related about Google's process than anything else. But today, for topics we have, for one, Google reportedly trains employees to avoid words like dominant, unique, and the leader to protect the company against antitrust backlash. Topic two that we have is going to be about Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, talking about the internet usage growth of 18.8% results in 124% stock price upside, mostly because of this whole transition, everybody working from home. The internet is basically growing up in usage because of that during a daily basis. And Google being the number one advertising provider is, profiting from that. And then the third topic that we have is about Google CEO Sundar Pichai saying that the company will invest $10 billion in India to support health, education, and agriculture. And we'll talk about more of that as we progress through the show. But first off, we're going to talk about this first topic, which is Google CEO Sundar Pichai saying that that's my fault. This is actually the wrong article. That's the last article. But this one is going to be about Google reportedly training employees to avoid words like dominant, unique, the leader, and everything else that's basically saying that Google has dominance where they don't want to perceive themselves as being a dominant leader and things. But mostly this article is from the Business Insider. Some of the subheads read that Google reportedly trains employees into not using those words because it jeopardizes the company in antitrust backlash down the line. The off-limit words are things like unique, dominant, leader, unmatched. And in emails, they try to avoid people to use things from using words like crush, kill, hurt, and block. and basically anything else that is given out that position that Google is so dominant in the industry that they have the ability to do malicious things to other companies. This all really comes from that whole idea that Google is so dominant in the industry that they are considered an antitrust company, and then that they basically are shutting out other companies from being able to compete in certain markets. They are a large company. It's almost a $1 trillion company. They're like $900 billion. They fluctuate, but because they are so dominant, it makes it hard for other companies to compete. And in a lot of cases, when they do try to compete, they run into these situations similar with Facebook and Amazon and Apple and other companies that they eventually either clone their technology or find some way to buy the company out. And that basically puts them in a position where they are coming across as being anti-competitive. Microsoft usually doesn't have this issue because they already went through their anti-competitive phase back in 2000. So these are the other companies that have to also participate in it if they're going to be that type of company. Let me just start off. How do you feel about this, Mike? The fact that they got to stop certain language.
I think we're in a time full of censorship, and I think how can I put this? I don't want to say they're going wrong, but I think they may be looking at it a little bit too deep. So these words and like dominant, unique, all this stuff like that, I think it just comes with the territory of promoting the company or anything that you feel good about, anything that whether it be a company or a personal project you're working on yourself, you're going to talk good about it. But I do see to some degree when they're talking about just protecting the company. But I think this is the culture that we live in now. I look at, honestly, a lot of the language that people use now is heavily influenced by the media that they indulge in. And be it that we are all within like the social media stage of the internet, where that's pretty, when people use the word internet, they're usually talking about social media. A lot of the influences that people follow, a lot of the memes, just the whole culture in itself, it promotes people being a little bit more, I guess, forward, as well as putting their best foot forward. Just pretty much putting, self-promotion, right? And I think if you implement what tends to happen is people take that same framework and they may take that on their jobs or, you know, any type of project that they're working on. So I honestly think from internally, like let's say, for example, someone brought this to me, I would challenge this because I don't really think that I see their plight, but I don't really see why this would be a big deal. You know, if I'm working for a company and I believe in the company as well as, you know, I'm not trying to get fired from the company, I'm going to do my darndest to make sure that, you know, when it comes to talking to, like, say if someone calls in for customer service or whether it be like talking about this company versus the competition, I'm going to use language that makes it, that promotes the business, the company that I'm working for. Again, that's just my thoughts on it. I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
a few times that we usually give this type of backlash to Apple, you know what I mean? But I say honestly, at least for this article this time, I don't know what Alphabet/Google is talking about here, because it's not they looking at it too serious, man.
Yeah. I mean, Apple usually they tend to be more guarded about their message. When they come out with a message, they make sure that they don't come off offensive or aggressive or like the term I like to use is abrasive. They don't necessarily come off like they're a problem. They come off very gentle. They come off like an apple. Like an apple is a non-intimidating fruit. Like everybody knows about an apple. Apple a day keeps the doctor away type thing. And that's why when it comes to their marketing, they don't really have that type of issue. Google tends to not have that issue. Their whole initial marketing concept was the whole do not be evil, try not to be evil type thing. That sort of died out after like 2010, 2012 era. But that was like their initial ideology was just don't be evil. And that kind of changed up a little bit when they started actually becoming a dominant player in the area, in all industries for real. For the marketing purposes, like part of it is probably because, I mean, they have to try to make sure that they don't have documentation that says that they're being evil because or doing anything malicious because with all these different cases that have been coming up, they have a couple of antitrust cases that are already happening in both America and the EU. And they've, like I said, they already have been presenting themselves to Congress on occasion. And in those cases, they usually always have some evidence, usually from some type of executive or some type of marketing firm who doesn't watch their language. And all they're trying to do is really push the agenda of the company without really taking into consideration what they're actually saying. They tend to actually get caught up with evidence in front of Congress where they're like, this email from such and such 2016 said that you were about to kick such and such company's ass. So you're telling me that you wasn't about to do that? Like, well, I mean, that's what it says. I guess that's what we were doing. But like, really, a lot of that just really comes from being clear and concise when it comes to those sales and marketing teams. You know, they're ambitious and they're trying to embellish on who the organization is and what the company is. And they try to make, you know, they're trying to sell an idea that this company is worth investing in, making sure that they're like, see, we're the greatest company ever. Nobody can beat us. We're unstoppable. We're amazing. We're dominant. And that they don't never actually consider because it doesn't matter to them. They just trying to make money. And it doesn't really matter to them what it actually looks like to other people that they're not selling to. The only people they care about are the people that they're selling to. So they don't necessarily think about who is it hitting that isn't necessarily a customer.
I was going to say, I when I hear stuff like this, so I'm in the marketing, like social media world. For those who don't know, I've if you haven't watched previous episodes, that's something I do. But what I'm getting at is I look at a lot of like influencers or people who are astute, like really good, have excellent branding. Like, for example, Billie Jean is marketing, right? He actually comes from the call center world. I mean, he's a multimillionaire, social media marketing guru, offline marketing, all this stuff like that. And if you look at that guy's personality and just the, how he carries himself and the things he talks about, I find it highly improbable. Like when it, in the article here, it says that with the things they're talking about as far as restricting people from talking about certain things, the standard competitive law compliance training that all companies give. And I'm like, that's BS, because I feel like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's all a front, because looking at people that I personally know who come from the call center world, who get training on how to interface with customers, or they talk about the competitors, and, you know, looking at people on the internet who come from that world, what they're talking about in this article sounds like it's in direct opposition to those people's personalities, and talking to them, you know, asking them, like, what does it take for them to be successful within that world? And it takes them being upfront. It takes them being abrasive. It takes them, you know, pushing the envelope. And this is the type of language being restrictive. This is not push the envelope type of language. So I think I'm calling BS here on Google.
Yeah.
It's just that it definitely doesn't seem characteristic of what it takes to be successful as a company.
Well, yeah, but you got to also consider the fact that they are in a space that very few companies are in, because they're $1 trillion companies. Like when you're $1 million company or $100 million company, you still have a demographic and you can appeal to just that demographic. Your demographic rarely is the world. Like Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, you basically can say they shouldn't have a demographic that they're appealing to, because they're a global company. They're just trying to reach everybody, and you can't please everybody for one, but at the same time, you can't like base your ideas off of one perspective that you know, because they're reaching everybody. So they're reaching Democrats, Republicans, they're reaching independents, they're reaching people that are like Muslim, that are Catholic, that are Christian. Like you can't really try to put your one perspective on something when it's a large group of society, when it's not just a demographic. It's basically every demographic, and they touch that, unlike a lot of other companies, because most companies don't have billions of users. Most companies have millions at best, and you know that nonetheless, that's still technically, you can have $1 million business and only really have a business in one state, whereas they're touching hundreds of countries. So it's kind of one of those things where they got to figure out the best way to deal with that type of space, and touching, you know, looking for key trigger words. I mean, if you want to say that's being sensitive or whatever, but it's 2020. You gotta deal with multiple people. It's, you know, the old school way of thinking is men are dominant, men rule, we do whatever, and we can run this gambit, and y'all just gotta deal with it. And in this world, it's like, yeah, we got our place too, and we gotta play our role just like everybody else gotta play out their role. But the next one that we have is going to be about Alphabet internet usage growth. Apparently, the internet usage has been going up since this whole coronavirus thing has taken place.
Corona.
Yeah. I've been calling it Coviticus. Yeah, it's coming out here like Maximus Aurelius, just taking over everything like Gladiator. So you got to give it respect on that name. I just can't call it COVID no more. It's definitely dominating right now. But this article is really pushing the idea about how the growth of internet usage is being beneficial to a company like Apple. I mean, Amazon, all the A's, Alphabet. We're talking about Alphabet, talking about Google. Talking about how the internet growth and the internet usage is definitely working in their favor, because they are the dominant player when it comes to advertising right now. one of the things that they were presenting in this article, which is one of the mentions of the article, talking about how Alphabet. every time I say Alphabet, I think of another company instead of Google. I might as well just say Google. But they talk about how the dominance of Google's ad service, they basically just, they have the top market share. And market share was another word that they didn't want people to use in that other article. It's like, how you want to say we have dominant market share? You can't even say that anymore, which doesn't make sense. Like, if you got market share, you got market share. You can't lie about stats. Like, the numbers ain't lying in that situation. But in this
synonym,
yeah, you got hit them with metaphors. Like, what are you? Oh, is it a rap group now? Like, they have such dominance in the advertisement space that their profits are just gaining as people are using the internet more. I mean, I'm looking at this article now and I see three ads that are definitely coming from Google. That works in their benefit. But when it comes to cases like what they were talking about prior, I mean, that could also be a problem because they have that dominant space and nobody else is allowed to make money. Like Amazon is trying to take market share because they have an ad service that they've been pushing out for the past couple of years. Facebook has their advertisement platform that they've been using for the past couple of years, but neither one of them have been able to fully take hold of or at least balance it out a little bit in comparison to what Google does and how the advertisement space that they have. What do you think about this, Mike?
I think that it's just, looking at everything as a whole, it's just now on one end, from the conspiracy theorist bag, they would say that all these companies have engineered, Covidicus in order for something like this to happen, right? And it just makes sense that Alphabet predominantly getting their revenue from ads, they had something to do with, everybody being forced in the house to use the internet more, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. I think that it just shows that this is the nature of the beast. Like, this is the benefit. And we usually talk when we're talking about other companies, right? Like, for instance, a Microsoft or maybe even an Apple, where their company seems like they're built more on, they're more product driven rather than just like software or like revenue. They generate their revenue through ads. Mm-hmm. When you have increased internet usage, it almost seems like the perfect business model that Google has, be it that they've been able to increase just by off of technicality. As far as the stock going up, I mean, it doesn't really. To invest in Google, it seems like it's never really a bad thing, and I think this just adds more to the pot. And as we live in a society, regardless of what's going on with Covidicus or anything else that may pop up, the internet usage will continue to grow. And I don't really think it's going to come back from this. So just looking at hearing different reports coming in from the news and what have you, it looks like society is moving towards having kids and just like not going to school physically, but completing stuff online, more jobs are coming remote. It just, this falls like right in lines with, what I guess Google has gone. It just falls right in line with where the culture is headed. Mm-hmm. If I was an investor, I would say, it only makes sense. This is good. It's something that they can definitely capitalize on. I like down here, like you say, I'm just looking on the page that's actually talking about Google, that they literally have ads on here that's generating the revenue as we speak.
Right.
And I can honestly feel that down the line, the reason why looking at like Microsoft or maybe an Amazon, why they are trying to have more of Microsoft has always had a technology footprint, but like an Amazon, it's because they see that this stuff is inevitable anyway. So the more and more they have a footprint like digitally where they're generating stuff off of ads and stuff, the more they're able to get into the game. But I mean, it seems like Google is always going to be the front runner on this. And like I said, just looking at what they're talking about here, it only makes sense that Google will remain on top. It's going to keep on flourishing. I'm looking at some of the percentages. So what's interesting too is that this is not something that's going on that's within the states either. This is it's like worldwide because Google is a worldwide company.
Right.
So like again, it's as long as you know people are COVID or whatever. Within the next 4 years, there'll be another virus to come out. Wink, wink, wink. That's another whole other conversation. But as long as this thing like continues to go, man, it's only going to go up more and more, hundreds of percent. As far as the likelihood of people investing in Google.
Yeah. I mean, with things like YouTube, I mean, a lot of people watching the how-to videos and just trying to keep their kids entertained throughout the day. You know, ads are definitely rolling through those YouTube videos, and those are definitely going to be Google ads. So, I mean, the profit shares for them are just going to keep going. I think the hardest part is trying to balance it out for Google. Like, they need to be able to have a fair market for other advertisers to be able to come into play. But even then, when Facebook and Amazon get their dominant share, it's still going to be considered a form of a monopoly, because it's still going to just be those three companies that are at the top. All the other smaller companies are going to end up having to still go to one of those three, and three people or three companies to dominate the world advertisement platforms isn't going to be, that's not diverse enough for a business model. It's not diverse for a market share in that industry. So it is what it is, as Donald Trump liked to say about people dying in coronavirus. But like, eventually it's going to change for them. As far as the stock is concerned, always consider the stock a emotional reactionary thing. It always fluctuates, and like, it could be a bad day that causes it to drop, and it could be a great day of emotions that just causes it to rise, and you never really know what's going to go down because it's based off of the way people feel about the news that comes in. So the stock market being as it is, they could have gone up in market share and the stock could have gone down and it wouldn't have made any difference either way. They still right. making money nonetheless, hand over fist.
Yeah, I think that just looking at just like where digital advertising is, man, you can honestly say, although there may be other platforms that provide some type of advertising, like be it that I don't know where who had it in mind. But and I think we may have talked about it before, Mike, but just getting in on the advertising game, or Google creating, having it in their model to be the forerunners of that. I think they was using a little bit of foresight, because again, like within the next 10 years, man, there's going to be a true influx of just people like using the internet. We haven't talked about it in some time, but we're going to the VR, the AR world, and stuff like that. So. Oh, yeah. Is this, I mean, if you imagine like what that would look like in like what you have in like virtual reality, you're in that world and then seeing like ads pop up, and it's like stuff like that happen.
I'm literally waiting for that to happen. Like already I've been thinking that it was gonna happen since Grand Theft Auto 3 and 4. Like I'm just waiting for me to go through a city and I see an ad for something that's right around the corner while I'm driving through that city. And it's telling me to go buy this thing. And not even that, I'm getting to the point where I won't be able to walk up to a, or, you know, GTA has cell phones on there, right? So I'm waiting for the era where I can literally just pull out the cell phone in GTA and order Grubhub through the game and not even take myself out the game the whole time. And be able to make all my transactions while in game. That's bound to happen. That's just something that technology, there's one piece of technology here, one piece of technology here. They're bound to merge. It's just a matter of time and somebody actually pushing the idea and the agenda to get it going. So, yeah, like the virtual world is just a lot of extra real estate. And, you know, like companies like Comcast have ad networks, but they can't compete globally. They only compete in the space that they run. And most in like Comcast runs like the Northeast region of America and then some other locations, but they don't run all of America. It's other companies that run the telecom service. So, I mean, even their advertisement network can't compete with something that's as global as even Amazon, Facebook, or Google. This is kind of crazy. It's crazy. The advertisement game is crazy, especially online. The last topic that we want to talk about, and I think this guy is probably just setting up his headquarters so when he's ready to quit, go. Sundar Pichai, CEO of Google, says that his company is going to invest $10 billion in India to support health, education, and agriculture. The subheads are reading that CEO Sundar Pichai said he's going to invest, that his investments will be made over the next 5 to 7 years. The company has identified 4 investment areas in India, and as well as localizing information in language like Tamil. I never heard of these languages. I've never been to India, but Tamil and Punjabi.
Punjabi, I think.
My coworker is probably going like back. Google will invest in tech and AI to support sectors like agriculture, education, and health. So basically, he's investing in India heavily, and I kind of seen this happening a lot with, we've been separating ourselves from doing business with China as of the past 3 to 4 years, with Trump being in office. When it comes to the way America's business has been coming with all the Congress issues and them potentially getting sued for antitrust, I've always felt that Google would potentially look into moving themselves out of the United States, especially when they had that that ban on Muslim countries that Trump did, when he blocked all the Muslim countries from having access to America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, well, in that case, I don't see an international company like Google staying in America too long if they are denying half of their employment staff from ever making it to America in the first place. but like, yeah, he's plotting on investing in those areas for business. In particular, the 4 main investing areas that he's talking about was language-based localization for information, localized products and services, business empowerment, and using tech and AI for improvement in various social sectors. So, social services, all the things that government uses to help its people. And a lot of philanthropy. Philanthropy. a lot of those initiatives and education as well. It looks like it's going to be a big deal. And like I said, I think part of this might be him looking for having something to do once he leaves Google, where he can be like, all right, I'm done with Google. I'm going back to India and I'll participate working in this organization that we built up.
Yeah, I think that I'm looking at this now in a way. I'd say that with Sundar Pichai, he's just protecting his own interest. And mm-hmm. I don't want to sound too I don't know the political technical term for it, but be it that we're in IT, Mike, we know that pretty much who runs to IT worldwide are what people, what race of people? Indians,
white people.
I'm like all my coworkers, whether they be contractors or employees. Like I work for Centel Inc. before, and their company, I think it was like an American, the story was they were an American based company, but 80% of their employees were Indian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I hear stuff like that, and then looking at this article where it says that the CEO, pretty much the guy who runs stuff, right. Is invested. Yeah. Right. Is investing, support, health, education, and agriculture into India. It seems like it's just, protecting the interest of those who hold Google afloat. Now I don't know the demographics of all the people that work at Google, but I just, again, I'm in this IT thing, man. I know that predominantly the people who hold the positions in IT companies, when it just comes to technology itself, if you're going to find it, it's not completely 50%, but it's maybe like 40% people who are Indian. Then it all is broken up from there between African American, white, Asian, stuff like that. The other 60%, but still 40% of that are Indian people. So, I mean, like hearing this, I know it comes off as it can be philanthropic, but it just makes sense, right? Like you're going to, if I'm primarily getting, I guess, fed from a certain source, and it's time for me to, I guess, give back or to pay homage, I'm not going to go to a place where I did not get most of my food or most of my sustenance from. I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to invest back
to those
investing in me. Exactly. And those, whether it be through the creative side or whether it be from the, I guess, QA or technological side of holding things together in execution, the people who pretty much hold things afloat in IT, I can stand firm on saying that it's Indian people. So, and there's different things. Again, when you think about India, right? India is not a, it's not like, so from an American's position, it may be difficult to conceptualize how big something is or like the magnitude of like other countries' footprint and something. But India, their population, I think, is over 1 billion people.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So when you say India, I mean, of course, there's concentrated areas, but it just looks one. It looks good for the, I guess, branding purposes to invest into India, be it that they have a whole lot of places where it's India is an interesting place. Just from hearing some of my coworkers talk about it, how this, you have the whole caste system there, right? And you have different places where they have like this, like the super rich and super wealthy, and then they have like the super poor. Where, yeah. I mean, you kind of see that, you see that somewhat here within the Americas, but it tends to be a very big middle class, right? And you have your super poor and your super rich. Whereas though with India, it's you still have that same demographic, but it's not as big. Where, you know, yeah, you have people who, you have your upper echelon, you have your middle, and then you have your super, super low. So, I mean, investing that 10 billion, it may sound like it's a big number, and which it is, but one, looking at what Alphabet has as far as disposable income, if you want to call it that, to be able to do philanthropic work, 10 billion is not a lot to Google. It's not a lot to Google, for one. Then based on the task at hand, 10 billion, as far as that, I mean, if you were to, let me say you have over 1 billion people in India, and it's $10 billion, that's pretty much what, if you was to give everybody in India, would it be $10 a person?
Yeah, so yeah. It's basically,
that's not really, yeah.
The 10 billion is basically like 1% of Google's overall, not profits, but overall net worth, because they're at roughly $1 trillion. So 10 billion is just 1% of that. So add it off somewhere if they know that it can potentially come back in their favor. Particularly, if they're educating people that they know will potentially be employees in the near future. I mean, they're not necessarily going to make them direct employees, but they're just training them in the hopes that ideally, you know, similar to colleges, a lot of colleges, you know, they partner up with different companies and, you know, they'll, whenever the students actually get to the point where they can do internship, they'll intern them into this organization. And then later on, they'll transition them to being a straight up employee. It's sort of, it's grooming, essentially. They're grooming them for the potentiality of hiring these people in the near future. And they want to just be able to make them, you know, profitable investments, worthwhile investments, a return on investment.
What I was going to get at, Mike, is that I think that I'm not trying to get on Google's case here, but you know that whole thing of what typically is said when, like, for instance, a celebrity may be put on Front Street that they're like investing in something or they're doing something philanthropic, right? But from someone's perspective, they may say based off of what they make, that's not nothing. They can invest more. They can do a lot more. Yeah. I would say, not that I'm completely calling Google out on this, but again, like that's $10 billion, only 1%. And then you have 1 billion people in. So I know it's concentrated in these areas where they feel like they get the greatest return on investment. But we're talking about overall support, health, education, and agriculture for all of India. I think they can do a little bit more than that, man. They have not a trillion to spare, but at least 100 billion to spare, right? It's not, you know, you could probably up it to 20 billion to 30 billion if they really want to.
It's an American company at the end of the day. Ain't nothing free out here. We ain't giving away money. Yeah, I mean, it's going to come back in their favor because, you know, Google works with a lot of companies in itself. So even these investments, they're going to other companies where they can say that they funded this organization and they funded this company here and they technically have shares of stock in or ownership of like 5% or 10% of such and such company for educational purposes. They have this Kievla Education Foundation. I butcher these words, man. It's going to be horrible. But Yeah, they're investing their money into these things. They only invested enough that, like, it's not like they're not investing $100 billion because, yeah, that's a gamble. That's 10% of their worth. And that's a gamble because they could definitely lose that 10%. But 1%, $10 billion is something that they're not going to miss. And it's definitely going to help out other people more than it really help out them. But given 20 years or so, it may help them out in the future anyway. Like I said, I think this is really just so that he has a good hideout when he's done working at Google. Like, because after 10 years of working at Google or something like that, you probably stress and just want to go home anyway. And you don't want to go home back to a place that doesn't resemble what you've been used to in America. You want to be able to go back home and feel comfortable back home. So at least I know at minimum when he go back home, he's going to be treated like a king because he just gave India $10 billion. Like, at that point, he just bought himself kingship.
Right. I like the way you put that, though. Like, I think that it's important to know, man, that, you know, just to remind, keep in mind that, you know, Sundar Pichai is Indian. Right. Like, it just, you know, yeah, he's going to protect and under the, again, you know, to make it where it doesn't seem like a conflict of interest or to not throw, you know, cause any red alerts to go off. Like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be under the banner of, you know, Google doing this. But, you know, yeah, it's Sundar Pichai making the call to invest in the country that he's from.
And he hired another Indian guy, Thomas. I can't remember his last name, but Thomas something or another. He basically runs the
Indian guy named Thomas.
Yeah. cloud division. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody, America has influenced every part of the world. So, you know, they basically invaded India a while ago. It was Europe.
It was British.
England. Yeah. They basically like took over India for a period of time. And yeah, that type of influence, man, you bound to have somebody named Thomas. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, we named Mike. But yeah, man, that's just the way of the world, and that's the way of influence when you are dominating power. If you like the show, that is the end of the topic. So sorry, it's time to end this show. I'm not going to sing the Mickey Mouse song, but if you do like the show, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, share, and let us know how you feel about it, because we will continue to keep doing this. And if you got a topic that you want us to talk about, let us know and we will talk about it. Anything else you got, Mike?
Nah, man. It's like what you said, Mike. Look, we're everywhere. Pretty much you Google us. What is it? The Google News update. You'll find us, like, comment, subscribe, and make sure that you leave. What's important, man, y'all leave the comments so we will know, you know, where your headspace is. If you're liking everything we got going on, we always are appreciative of, you know, people who appreciate us. And if you have a comment about how we can improve on things, that'd be good too. And if you're just hating, we appreciate that too. So, hey, just make sure you follow us on all of the primary podcasts and platforms. And yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, all haters are welcome. I appreciate all haters, so let me know I'm doing something good. But yeah, y'all take it easy out there. Be safe, and we will hit you with the next one. Take it easy. Peace.